the most widely circulated book in the world.
对啊，所以呢，你看，一共过去五十年呢，就已经卖了39亿本圣经了。
Over the last 50 years, 3.9 billion books have been sold.
再问你，考一条比较难的哈。
I have another more difficult question for you.
那以下这本书，它被翻译成为200种不同的语言。
The following book is translated to over 200 languages.
在世界翻译的榜上呢，它排第四。
And on the list of books that's been translated all over the world is number 4.
彼此可难进更多。
As more translated versions than the Quran.
自从它面世以后，过去300年以来从来没有绝版的。
Ever since it's been published within the last 300 years, it has never been stopped published.
有没有人猜到？有没有试试看猜这本书是什么书
？Anyone want to venture and guess what this book is?
啊？圣经已经讲了。
We have already talked about the Bible.
OK， 有没有猜？荒漠甘泉不是。
Not the streams in the desert.
这本书呢，就是叫《天路历程》。
This is the book on the Pilgrim's Progress.
这本书是英国基督教的一个牧师叫 John Bunyan 约翰本人所写的。
This is was written by English pastor John Bunyan.
是以一个基督教寓言的故事写成的。
It's based on a Christian allegory.
在1678年就面世了。
Published in 1678.
那这个故事里面记载一个人物呢，他的名字就是叫基督徒。
The story talks about a person. His name is called Christian.
他是故事就讲到他怎么从这个灭亡城去到这个天城。
The story talks about how he went from a city of destruction to this celestial city.
对我来说，为什么这本书这么受欢迎呢
？To me, why is this book so welcome?
因为呢，他讲出一个人呢，从他还没得救到他得救，以至到他过他成圣生活的这个过程。
It talks about the someone from the time when he received salvation to all the way during the maturity and all the way this sanctification process.
那在约翰本人笔下的这个基督徒呢，他虽然放弃一切去寻求神。
This Christian has described by John Bunyan, even though he forsake everything to seek God.
但是呢，当他走这条路的时候呢，他常常偏离神的旨意。
As he walk on this path, he frequently depart from God's path.
因为这个原因呢，他就会走到不同的危险。
Because of this reason, he encounter all kinds of dangers.
直到这个基督徒悔改的时候呢，他才会走回这条正路。
Until the Christian repent, you are back on the right path.
那么他最后就走到这个天城。
So he eventually got to the celestial city.
那当我们看以斯拉记的时候
，When we take a look at Ezra，
我们发觉了以色列人复兴的路也是不是一帆风顺的。
I see that the Israelites' revival is not all smooth sailing either.
最初就是公元前536年的时候，有50,000人就是回归到耶路撒冷。
In the beginning, at 536 AD, 50,000 people gave up everything and returned to Jerusalem.
那这些人都是放弃一切的。
And these people actually gave up everything that they had.
但是呢，他到了这个耶路撒冷以后，遇到敌人的攻击呢，就停工了16年。
When they got to Jerusalem, when they hindered by or stopped by the enemy, they stopped working for 16 years.
直到公元前520年的时候，神就派两个先知哈该跟撒加利亚去警告他们。
Until 520 AD, God sent the prophet Haggai and Zechariah and reprimanded them.
这些先知告诉他。 他们，你们没有把神放在你人生的第一位。These
prophets told them that they have not put God as the number one in their life.
那么这些人呢，又凭信心去再开工建这个圣殿。These
people, based on their faith, began to work again to build the temple.
那么神祝福他们，4年以后就建好这个圣殿。And
God blessed them, and within 4 years later, the temple was finished.
但是从他们建好这个圣殿以后，以色列人的福星有没有继续呢？
But after they finished the temple, the Israelites got to be better with their revival.
那么呢，在以斯拉记第7章的时候呢，就讲到以色列第二次回归。
In the beginning of the chapter 7 of Ezra, they talk about the second time the Israelites returned.
那这一次呢，其实是离开第一次重建圣殿以后58年了。And
this time is actually 58 years after this temple has been rebuilt.
那么这一次回归以色列带领以色列人回去的时候，他会。 遇见一个怎么样的一个以色列呢？
So what kind of Israel would Ezra encounter when he returned?
所以呢，今天我们要来看，我叫这个复兴之路。Today
we're going to talk about this the path of revival.
你会发觉呢，这条路上面有3个站。You'll
see that there are 3 stops on this road.
第一个站就是觉醒。
The first one is awakening.
第二就是认罪。
The second is confession.
第三就是悔改。
The third is confession, the repentance.
所以呢，我们先来看就是第一站觉醒。
So let's take a look at the first stop, awakening.
以色列回去的时候，他见到一个怎么样的以色列？
So when Ezra returned, what kind of Israel did he encounter?
9章的第一节讲到，解释纣王了，众首领来见我说，以色列民和祭司并立位人没有弃绝迦南人、客人、比利时人，也不是人、阿门人、摩亚人、埃及人、阿摩利亚人，人效法这些国的民所行和可憎的事。
Chapter 9, verse 1 tells us that after these things happened, the leaders came to me and said, The people of Israel, including the priests and Levites, have not kept themselves separate from the neighboring peoples with their detestable practices, like those of Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites, Jebusites, Ammonites, and Moabites.
Now, I want you to notice in verse 1, 有关以色列人的罪。I
want you to notice in verse 1, Israelites leaders took the initiative to tell Ezra about the sins of the Israelites.
但是他们犯了什么大罪啊？
What kind of sin did they commit?
基本来说，简单来说就是他们效法他们邻居所做的事情了。
In summary, it's about them modeling the... what the neighboring cities what they do.
所以你可以想象得到，就是他们违规了超过50年。
In other words, after they returned for over 50 years,
他慢慢就是效法他们邻居的生活的习惯。
And gradually they assimilate to try to model after their neighbors how they live.
9章的第一节里面呢，讲到解释做完了。
In chapter 9:1 tells that this after these things are complete.
这个就是指以斯拉回到耶路撒冷的这件事。
It is referring to Ezra returning to Jerusalem.
那根据10章第9节里面呢，我们知道了这个事情发生在以斯拉回归的5个月以后。
According to chapter 10, verse 9, this happens about approximately half 5 months after the Ezra returned.
所以以色列回归5个月以后呢，这些以色列人呢就好像醒过来一样。
And 5 months after the Ezra returned, the Israelites almost like they just woke up.
就知道他们所做的事情呢是可憎的事。
They recognize what they were doing are the detestable practices.
那你没有问一个问题，就是他们平常的生活已经过了几十年了，一直内心的没有一点不平安哦。
This begs a question: is after they've been there for 50 years, how come they don't have a feeling of a of restlessness?
直到第九章的时候，突然间他们好像醒过来一样。
It's until the chapter 9, it's almost like all of a sudden they woke up.
他觉得啊，原来我们平常所做的事是可憎的事。
And then they realize what they've been doing is detestable.
什么去改变他们 这群人呢、啊、
？What changed these people?
我想就是因为以斯拉的原因。
I guess it's probably because of Ezra.
因为以斯拉回去以后，就开始教他们圣经。
Because after Ezra returned, he taught them about the law.
第七章第十节讲到以斯拉定制考究遵行耶和华的律法，又将律例典章教训以色列人。
In some texts it says, for Ezra had devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord, and to teach his decrees and law in Israel.
那复兴的记录第一站就是叫觉醒。
Now the first stop of revival is awakening.
但是你怎么叫醒一个长期睡在最终的一个人呢？
But how do you wake up someone who has been living and sleeping in sin?
就是通过圣经。
And that is through the Bible.
当我们定制考究遵行耶和华的律法的时候，
And when we devote ourselves to the study and observation of the law of the Lord,
圣灵会提醒你。
The Holy Spirit will wake us up.
告诉你你做的不对的地方。
And tell us what kind of wrongs that we have been doing.
有时是直接通过圣经告诉你。
And sometimes through the scripture and tell us directly.
有时是通过教会的弟兄姊妹告诉你。
And sometimes it's through the brother and sister in church.
其实我们现在也是住在一个不敬畏耶和华神的社会里面。
That's why we are living in a world of fearing God.
如果我们不留心的时候，我们很容易就效法我们旁边的人。
If we are not careful, we're easily trying to model the people around us.
其实我特别希望呢提醒我们中间的年轻人。
I want to especially remind the young people among us.
因为我年轻的时候也是一样，我很容易跟着别人去走。
And I was the same way when I was young. I can easily follow others too.
如果我们不小心的时候，我们就会效法这个世界。
If we're not careful, we would model after our world.
举一个例子。
For example,
好像美国人呢，就是呢，他们觉得很惊讶，或者他们生气的时候呢，他们会妄称神的名。
Just like most people, if they are all of a sudden were surprised or actually very mad, they would actually call out the name of God in vain.
但是我们基督徒，我们应该知道这个是神所不允许的。
But for us Christians, we know that this is not God will allow.
我年轻的时候呢，你知道同学里面最喜欢讲什么？
When I was young, you know, among the students, you know what we like to talk about?
你是什么星座的？
And what kind of horoscope you have?
看看今天我的运情是怎么样的。
What kind of fate or luck do I have today?
面临考试的时候，你知道我们会做什么？
In facing the exam, you know what we do?
其实是我们的父母会带我们去庙里面求一个福，就保佑你能够考得过这个试。
And that is our parents would take us to the temple to actually try to ask for blessings so you can pass exam.
如果我们去露营的时候，晚上你会干什么？
When we go camping, you know what we would like to do at night?
我们就是讲鬼故事。
And we talk about ghost stories.
有一次呢，其实是教会露营哈。
It's actually a church camping.
我们讲的很高兴的时候。
And when we're talking, is so excited about these ghost stories.
我们的团契的主席就过来说。
And actually, our leader for our fellowship came over and said,
他说了，神不喜欢，圣经告诉我们了，神不喜欢人交鬼。
And they tell us that the scripture tell us that the God doesn't like us to communicate with evil spirit.
所以我们也不应该讲这些鬼的故事。
So we shouldn't talk about these ghost stories either.
那如果我们不小心的时候，我们很容易就会跟这个世界一样。
If we are not careful, we'll be like this world.
那以色列人不单只发觉他们的问题。
And only did the Israelites found out the problem that they have.
他还找出了这个问题的根源。
They also found the source of the problem.
你知道为什么我们很多坏的习惯呢？一直都改不了。
You know why we have a lot of bad habits we cannot, it's difficulties to change?
因为我们很多时候只看见这个表面的问题。
Because we only look to see the superficial issues.
那如果你觉得你婚姻的问题就是一个沟通的问题的时候。
If you think the marriage problem that you have is about communication,
那么你解决的方法只会集中在沟通上面。
So the solution they're trying to find is based on the communication.
那么可能这个就是为什么你几十年都改不了婚姻上面的问题。
And that way, maybe perhaps that's why actually over many years you cannot address the problem with the marriage.
以色列人见到他们效法外邦人的问题。
The Israelites saw that they were modeling the Gentiles.
但是这个根源的问题是什么？
But what is the source of this problem?
第二节告诉我们有两方面。
This verse 2 tell us there are two issues.
第一，因他们为自己的和儿子娶了这些外邦女子为妻，以致圣洁的种类和这些国的民混杂。
The first one is that they have taken some of the daughters as wives for themselves and the son, and have mingled the holy race with the peoples around them.
你想想，为什么当时以色列人会跟外邦人通婚呢？
You stop and think about why is the Israelites actually would they have marriage with the Gentiles?
其实可能是一个很实际的一个考虑。
Perhaps it's a practical consideration.
他们回归才五万人。
The first time they returned only 50,000 people.
你要找一个以色列人跟你结婚，跟你的儿子结婚不容易哦。
If you want to find an Israelite who would be married with your son, is not easy.
你的选择是很有限的。
Your choices are limited.
你知道基督徒也是面对同一个困难。
You see, Christians are facing the same problem.
就是你要找一个基督徒去结婚，你选择当然比人小啊。
And that is if you want to find a Christian to be married, your choices are less than other people what they have.
但是呢，神很早以前在他们这些人出埃及以后，已经警告他们，你不可以跟这些迦南人去结婚。
But God has already warned them after they left the getting into Canaan, that they told them they cannot be intermarried with the Canaanites.
那为什么不可以跟这些外邦人结婚呢？
Why can they not be married with the Gentiles?
你知道婚姻呢，是我们人际关系里面最密切的一个关系。
You see, the marriage for a human being is actually one of the perhaps the most intimate relationship.
比起父母跟儿女的关系更亲密。
It's actually deeper than the relationship between a parent and child.
唯一的关系，这是唯一的关系。圣经说，二人成为一体的。
And this relationship, the scripture tells us, is that two shall become one.
所以你跟一个不信神的人结婚的时候，他一定会影响你的。
So if you're married with someone who does not believe God, for sure it will be affected.
那我初中的时候就信耶稣。
And then I became a Christian when I was in junior high.
我初恋的情人呢，是我高中的一个还没信耶稣的同学。
My first love is actually that a non-believer in the high school.
大 当时我已经知道圣经说信与不信的原不相配，不要同父一轭。
In that time, I already knew that the scripture said, "Do not be yoked with unbelievers."
但是你知道，我会为我自己找借口。
And you see, I actually find excuses for myself.
我告诉自己，我这么年轻，我只是谈恋爱，不是讲结婚了。
I told myself, I'm just dating. I'm so young. We're not talking about marriage.
还有，你怎么知道我不能带几个人，我的同学信耶稣呢？
Besides, how do you know that I cannot bring my friend to become a Christian?
我们还可以约定，如果我们真的结婚以后，他不会阻止我去教会去敬拜神。
And besides, after I get married, I can just have an agreement so that she would not stop me from going to church to worship God.
但是我没有不了解，其实，无论是你谈恋爱或者你结婚啊，这个关系是一个最很亲密的一个关系。
I didn't realize that.Even marriage, even dating, this is one of the most intimate relationships.
其实人生里面有很多决定呢是不能分隔的。
There are a lot of decisions in life that you cannot separate them.
那很简单啊，奉献。
And for example, offerings.
你跟一个不信神的人结婚的时候，他不会明白你为什么要十一奉献呢？
If you are married to an unbeliever, he or she would not understand what it means by tithing.
他也不会明白为什么你每一个礼拜天星期天放假的时候你都要去教会。
And they also cannot understand why every week on the day you're off that you have to go to church.
但是最难的一个事情你知道是什么？
You know what is the most difficult thing?
就是当你们生儿女的时候，你就会面对一个很大的困难。
And that is when you have children, you would encounter one of the most difficult things.
你自己是信耶稣的。
You are a believer.
你当然会选择去教你的小孩圣经了。
Of course, you would choose to teach your children the Bible.
但是你的伴侣还没信神。
If your spouse is not a believer.
那么他也会把他的信仰教这个儿女的哦。
He or she would also bring their own belief to the teach their own belief to the children.
所以这个一定会产生一个冲突。
Now, that's for sure would create some kind of conflict.
但是当时呢，我什么都没有考虑哦。
At that time, I did not even consider any of that.
我情愿选我的女朋友，我不选神。
I rather choose my girlfriend and not God.
那如果不是神怜悯我的时候
，If it weren't for the mercy of God,
因为上大学以后，那么大家走的路就不一样了。
After I went to university, the paths, the talks went separate way.
所以呢，这个谈恋爱的这个关系就结束了。
So the dating relationship has ended.
如果不是这样子的时候，可能我就永远忘记神。
If it weren't for that, I would may even have forgotten.
神以色列人效法外邦人的行为，第二个原因呢
？The second reason why the Israelites forgot about God is
第二节就告诉我们，是这些首领和官长在解释。善为罪悔。
In the verse 2 tell us the leaders and officials have led the way in this unfaithfulness.
你知道一个领袖犯罪，他下面的人一定跟着他。
If you see that when a leader commits a sin, the people below him would follow.
我做了牧师以后更明白这个事情。
After I became a pastor, I understand this even more.
偶然就会听到弟兄姐妹这样子讲。
Occasionally, I will hear brothers and sisters talk about this.
牧师都是这样子了，为什么我不能呢
？The pastor is doing that. Why can't I?
所以，如果弟兄姐妹，如果你是父母，你是丈夫，你是教会的牧师、执事、理事，我们就要小心了。
Brothers and sisters, if you are parents and husband, you are the church pastor, teachers, deacons, and governing board members, you got to be careful.
因为我们是别人的领袖。
Because we are the leaders for other people.
如果你带头犯罪的时候，你下面的人就会跟着你。
If you take the lead in sinning, the people behind you will also follow.
我看过一本书叫 Change into His Image.
I read a book called The Change into His Image.
这个作者就记载一个故事。
The author told a story.
就是教会里面有一个执事。
And that is a deacon in the church.
他的儿子很反叛。
He has a really rebellious son.
那么他就去找牧师去帮忙。
He came to the pastor to try to help.
那么这个牧师就跟这个执事跟他太太跟这个儿子单独的见面。
So the pastor met with this deacon and the wife and also son all meeting separately.
他就找出这个事情的根源。
To found the source of this problem.
为什么这个儿子不听话？
Why is the son so rebellious?
因为他见到他妈妈平常都不听他爸爸的话。
It's because he saw that the mother would not even listen to the father.
那为什么这个妈妈平常不听这个爸爸的话呢？
Why is it the mother would not listen to the father?
因为这个爸爸平常都不听神的话。
Because the father would not even listen to God.
所以如果我们是领袖的时候，你一定影响你下面的人。
So if you're a leader, you will for sure affect the people following you.
复兴的路有三个站。
The path to revival has three stops.
第一个站是觉醒。
The first one is awakening.
第二个站就是认罪。
The second is confession.
那我们要想一想什么叫认罪、啊、
Let's often think about what does it mean by confession.
在我们现代的社会里面认罪就是找一个借口。
In today's society, confession is almost just like finding an excuse.
把这个错的事情呢合理化。
And try to justify the wrong acts.
譬如如果一个丈夫给人发现了他有婚外情的时候。
For example, a husband was found to have an affair.
那么他认罪的时候他会这样子说。
So when he was confessing, he would say this.
我太太一天到晚打麻将都不关心我。
And my wife actually played mahjong all day long and wouldn't even care about me.
所以我才跟这个明白我的关心我的秘书发生关系。
So that's why I developed this relationship with my secretary who cared about me.
那这个不是圣经里面所讲的认罪。
This is not a confession as described in the Bible.
认罪在希腊文里面呢，其实是两个字合拼起来。
The confession in the Greek is actually a combination of two words.
那第一个字，就是相同，我翻译就成为 same.
The first one is actually can be translated as the same.
第二个字就是讲话 talking.
This second is about talking.
所以呢，圣经讲到认罪的时候，就是你讲神所跟神所讲的话是一样的。
In other words, when you talk about the confession in the scripture, it's almost like saying the same thing as what God says.
所以当神说这个是罪
，So when God says this is sin,
那么我们认罪的时候就是说，这个我同意这个是罪。
When we are confessing, then you will say that I agree this is sin.
我们可以从以斯拉身上学到怎么去认罪。
And we can learn from Ezra how we can confess.
那当以色列人告诉以斯拉他们犯了罪的时候，以斯拉他没有找借口。
And the Israelites, when they told Ezra did not try to find an excuse.
他没有说我刚刚才回来五个月，你们犯罪。关我没有关系，不是我的责任呢。
He can say I've only been back for 5 months. Whatever the Israelite sin is not matter to me.
反而呢，第三节讲到呢，我一听见解释，就撕裂衣服和外仆袍，拔了头发和胡须，进入又慢而坐。
Just the opposite in verse 3 says, When I heard this, I tore my tunic and cloak, pulled hair from my head and beard, and sat down appalled.
那我们知道撕裂衣服呢是以色列人悲哀的一个 表现。
You understand that tearing up your clothes is expression of greed for the Israelites.
但是以色拉呢，在第三节所做的是一个不成强的一个事情。
Israel in the chapter, the verse 3, actually what he was doing is quite extraordinary.
是呢，衣服这个意思呢，就是里面的。你的 undergarment 呢，就是内衣的意思。
In the tearing up his clothes, is what he means is undergarment.
Okay, 外仆就是外衣啊。
So the cloak is actually his outer clothing.
那所以你撕掉了外衣，又撕掉了女衣，那剩下来有什么呢
？So if you tear up your cloak and also the undergarment, what do you have left?
所以他就是赤身露体的。
So he was bare naked.
还有呢，他把他的头发无数都拉出来哦。
So he also pulled out his hair and beard.
通常就是这些人受了很大的打击，好像发疯了，他会才有这个反应哦。
Usually for people who have severe blow and to the point of go mad, this is how they would react.
为什么他会有这样子反应呢
？Why is it that Ezra would react like this?
第三节讲到他进去又慢而坐。
In the verse 3 it says he was set down a pole.
认罪的起点呢，其实就是人敬畏神。
The beginning of confession is man fearing God.
那我们讲到敬畏神的时候，我们很多时候就强调这个敬，就忘了后面的这个畏这个字。
When we talk about actually fearing God, a lot of times we only talk about the honoring part, but not the fear part.
但是因为我们觉得我们跟神是一个爱的关系，为什么我要怕他呢？
We think that the for us between God and us ourselves is a relationship of love. Why do you need to fear him?
但是呢，我不同意敬畏神的解释只是这个敬重的这方面。
I disagree that when we actually fear God, it's only focusing on the honoring part.
从前教我们解经的这个教授，他提醒我们。
And the professor who teaches us how to about the Bible, talk about this following explanation.
他说，我们知道一个字有很多不同的解释。
We see that the words can be interpreted in many ways.
就好像，这个 fear 这个字里面有包括敬重跟恐惧。
And the word fear it can actually include the aspect of honoring also apprehension.
但是你要了解哦，就是敬重这个字呢，在原文里面它有的确有这个字哦。
In the you see that honoring for sure in the original text it has that meaning.
我不是 has that meaning， 它就是有另外一个字是否用来表达敬重的。
It actually has another word to explain the fear and the
有另外一个 there is another word for honor， OK？ 所以为什么圣经要选 fear 不选 honor 这个字？为什么圣经要选敬畏惧？不想不选这个敬重这个字，我们就要考虑了。
So it begs the question, why did the scripture use the word fear but not the honor respect? This is something we need to consider.
所以神是希望我们一方面去敬重他。
So God wants us on one hand to honor and respect him.
因为我们的神的确是我们慈爱的救主。
Because our God is indeed the loving Lord.
但是你不要忘记，他也是审判我们的神。
Don't forget that He is also the one who judges us.
所以我们要惧怕他。
That's why we need to fear Him.
第四节告诉我们，因为以色列对神的惧怕的时候，只是其他，因为神的话。站近的人也来到他面前嘛。
Verse 4 tells us because Ezra feared God, then everyone also trembled at the words of the God of Israel gathered around him because of his unfaithfulness and exiles.
从五到十五节里面就开始记载以色列的认罪的祷告。
And verse 5 to 15 talks about how Ezra is actually confessing and praying.
第六节讲到呢，他承认他们的罪的严重性。
Verse 6 talks about how serious about the sin was.
第七节开始，他就讲到以色列人灭亡的原因，就是因为他们效法他旁边的国家。
In verse 7 talks about the Israelites is going extinct because they are following after the people around them.
所以神通过就是让他们灭亡。
So that's why God allowed them to go extinct.
他也讲到神现在暂时的让他们回归耶路撒冷。
So they talk about temporarily God allowed them to return to Jerusalem.
但是以色列人又再一次犯同一样的罪。
But the Israelites commit the same sin again.
在结束的时候呢，以色列就讲了一句话。
At the end, Esther said one thing.
耶和华以色列的上帝啊，因你的公义，因你是公义的，我们这剩下来的人才的涂脱，正如今日的光景，看到我们在你面前是有罪恶，因此无人在你面前站立得住。
Lord God Israel, you are righteous. We are left to stay as a remnant.Here we are before you in our guilt, though because of it, not one of us can stand in your presence.
你有没有发觉在整个祷告里面，以色列没有求神去赦免他们的罪？
Did you not just notice that within the entire prayer, Ezra did not ask God for forgiveness?
那一个真正的认罪的时候，你就是同意神所讲的话。
For someone who is truly confessing, you will just agree on what God said.
神说你们简直，跟外邦人通婚是罪。
God said, "This is how these intermarriage with the Gentiles sin."
以色列说，是，我们犯了很大的罪。
And so Ezra said, "Yes, we have committed great sin."
他还同意神，你简直审判我们，是你公义的一个表现。
He also said that you punish it like this is expression of fairness or just.
那虽然以色列没有求神的赦免
，Even though Ezra did not ask God for forgiveness，
但是约翰一书一章九节告诉我们，人
John 1 tell us。
人若认自己的罪，上帝是信实的，是公义的，必要赦免我们的罪，洗净我们一切的不义。
If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness.
福音的路第三站就是悔改。
The first stop on the path of revival is repentance.
悔改这个字呢，不是懊悔的意思。
A repentance is this meaning is not about remorse.
在原文里面，其实就是转过来 turn around 的意思。
In the original text, is about turning around.
所以呢，讲到真正的悔改呢，它必定是转离罪，转向神。
So true repentance has to be turn around from sin and towards God.
所以一个只是在口头上面的。悔改没有行动的，不是圣经所讲的悔改。
So someone who actually is only say repent and yet not come through with action is not true repentance.
你看第十章的时候，你就发现以色列人真的悔改。
You can look at verse 10, you can see that the Israelites truly repent.
他们来到以色列面前，他说我们还有希望的。
They come before Ezra and say we still have hope.
这个希望就是。他们可以跟这些外邦的次子分开。
And the hope is originally from actually the separating from the foreign women.
那包括他们的儿女跟他们分开。
Including the children will be separated.
所以呢，我们就见到一个真正的一个悔改的时候是带有行动的。
So your true repentance comes with the action.
我们还发现一个事情，但是人其实没有这个能力去做到真正的悔改。
And you also notice one thing is, man cannot come through action just by himself.
我们必须要神的能力去保守我们。
We need the power of God to help us.
所以呢，当时呢，以色列，知道他们有这个决心的时候，他第一个行动就是禁食祷告。
So when Ezra told them that, found out that they have this willingness, the first thing he did is actually fast and pray.
那么他就宣告这些以色列文里。民里面，他们要开始是去调查这个事情。
So they actually told the Israelites to investigate all these things.
圣经告诉我们呢，只是他们呢花了大概100天的去调查这个事情。
The scripture told us that they spent about 100 days to investigate these matters.
最后找到了超过大概是100个家庭。
At the end, they found that almost 100 families.
你会发觉呢，他们是很仔细，一定是很仔细的去调查。
So definitely, spent did a lot of detailed work to investigate.
当我们悔改的时候，你可能要面对了神的一个很就是很严厉的一个调查。
In the When we're actually investigating, you also have to face very detailed investigation.
很多时候，比方说我们要帮助一些赌徒的时候，我们就要你可以说要干涉他们的私人的空间了。
And then, when we're trying to help somebody with gambling habit, we almost have to investigate their own personal space.
我们要知道他平常你怎么花钱呢？
We want to know how he normally how he spends the money.
可能呢不给他用信用卡。
And perhaps not allow them to use credit card.
但是如果你真心的去悔改的时候，你会愿意神，就是很仔细的去检查你的人生。
So I want to actually try to fully investigate. You almost open up your life to be investigated.
我们。见到以色列回归以色列
，We see the Ezra returned to Israel.
我们发现呢，其实这个复兴的路不是一帆风顺的。
And the path of revival is not all smooth sailing.
他们就是经过他们的觉醒
，Because they would actually through their awakening.
通过他们的认罪
through their confession,
通过他们的悔改
and then they followed by repentance.
他们就再一次走上这个复兴的路
and actually they can continue to go back on the path of revival.
我们最后一同祷告
Let's bow our hand pray.
现在天父我们来到你面前的时候求你光照我们
And dearly Father, as we come before you, we want you to enlighten us.
因为只有你的话语能够叫我们醒过来。
Because only your word can wake us up.
求主帮助我们不会找借口。
We ask that God will help us not to find excuses.
你知道神，你告诉我们哪些是罪的时候，我们也会承认我们的罪。
That when you tell us what the sins are, then we would confess our sin.
也帮助我们的悔改是有一个行动的悔改。
And help our repentance to be one of with action.
听我们祷告，奉耶稣基督名求。
Listen to our prayer in Jesus' name.
Amen. 现在呢是我们教会圣餐的时间。
Now is a time of communion.
圣餐是纪念主耶稣的死。
And the communion is to commemorate Jesus' death.